Ted Foley's here from Foley's Tree Service and Foley's Forest Products here in Tomahawk. Morning, Ted.
Good morning, Jeff.
Foley's Crane Service as well. You don't want to leave off the crane service.
Right, yeah.
How was vacation?
It was wonderful.
Rested, relaxed?
Yeah.
Your arms sore from catching so many fish?
We had a good time. We're not like the diehard fishermen that are out there all day or anything. It's, you get away, and my parents went, and my kids and Jenna, and yeah, we just got away for a while and enjoyed, and kind of went out fishing in the morning and came back in the afternoon and just kind of played and did fun things. So
that's the way vacation should be.
Yeah, it was great.
Welcome back. And it was nice to meet your replacement last month.
Yeah. Michael's doing really well. He's been with us for about a year now.
And, yeah.
Yeah, he has a good background and has some good knowledge. He's a good representative of the company. So just hired another sales arborist, and he's been working out in the field also now. His name is John, and John's doing really well.
And so it's nice to know you have people that you can leave the place and it's all taken care of. You can rest and relax and vacation the way you're supposed to be without worried about things back home.
Yeah. I mean, of course, you know, owning a business, there can be things on your mind. You know, it's just part of it. But, you know, at least the main thing is if you have a couple of good sales arborists, if I leave, it's not like all your sales come to a halt.
Right.
You know, people can still get their jobs looked at. We can continue to still gain workload for our crews. And, you know, that's important.
You don't hear help wanted ads a whole lot from Foley's Tree Service. That tells me that you hire good people the first time and they stick around for a long time.
Yeah, ideally. Of course, not everybody, but right. Ideally, yeah, definitely. Yeah. You know, and not to say we don't. I mean, we do keep things out there because you never know when that next good person could see something and apply.
Right.
You know, so you always kind of want to leave things out there for people just to notice the company.
Yeah. So Foley's always has openings for really good people that can do the job.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
You know, it's one of those things where I think any business out there would say if somebody came in that was qualified, not overqualified, that whole thing.
Yeah.
You can pretty much try and figure out a place to put them within the organization, especially if you know that person can benefit the organization.
The old Goldilocks philosophy, this one is just right. And when you see it, you got to take advantage of that. That's good business. Good business.
Yeah.
Ted, let's talk about tree stuff, first of all. Diseases and cruds that are out there are several, and there are some that are coming. So let's talk about some of these things, some of the bugaboos out there in some of our plants and trees.
Yeah, you know, going over kind of the basics that we've touched base on in the past, you know, oak wilt disease. Still, there's plenty of people out there that don't know about it. Oak wilt disease is a fungal disease that a tree will initially get by the transferring of the spore to the tree on an open wound, being a pruning cut, or you nick it at the base with a lawnmower, or a broken branch from a storm. So there's a beetle, the sap beetle, that wants to feed on that sap that's created when that bark opens up and gets into the sapwood. The beetle transfers the spore, if it was feeding on the oak wilt, because they love the oak wilt fungus and feeding on that also. Well, now they smell the sap and they go and feed on it. They transfer it to the tree and the tree has it.
Okay.
Once you have it, there's not much you can do. The good thing to know, and I don't even know if I've discussed this, there's now a new response called rapid response. So before it's like, okay, you have oak wilt. We know the tree is dying. Now what do we do? Well, our options are either trenching to sever root systems, because if there's a tree that's infected that is adjacent to other oak trees, they are all root grafted together. So
okay,
it'll bounce from one tree to the next and kill pockets of trees. So the big, like before, it was like, all right, now we need to sever that root system so that it doesn't transfer to that next layer of trees, of oak trees, oak trees. Or we need to fungicide if we can't sever, because maybe there's irrigation or, you know, concrete paths, whatever the property is not conducive to doing the trenching, then you would need to do fungicide treatments. Well, that can get costly. It's three treatments you need to give to cover the trees for a three-year period. It takes about 5 years for that disease, that fungus, to die, so we need to treat them for a six-year period. So, you know, there was all of that in the past. Well, now there's good new research out there and studies that is called rapid response. And what we want to do is if we can identify the tree has the decline and it's no more than like 60% declined, we can, and especially if the infection started in the crown, what we do is we actually go and we girdle two lines on the trunk of the tree, spray the tree with an herbicide, and kill that tree, like now, because the tree's going to die anyway.
Okay.
Right? So the tree's already dying. It's declining. So if we see that and we know, yes, this is oak wilt, we a lot of times don't even want to wait for a test lab result to come back, because by then it could already be in the root system.
So it spreads that fast.
It spreads that fast. So okay. What we're trying to do is we're trying to stop the fungus going from, let's say, that branch that was broken to coming down into the root system and then spread into the other trees. So if we can go and girdle that tree, spray an herbicide, and kill off that tree as quickly as possible, now it's less likely and unlikely that that fungus will transfer down into the trunk and into the other trees. So So it's kind of like, hey, folks, you out there, if you have oak trees on your property, if you see something like a drastic change in your trees, there's always going to be something affecting them one way or another. But if there's a drastic change, then like give us a call, because if we can identify it quickly, we can hopefully kill that tree quickly and stop it from transferring to other trees.
So, just like everything else, early intervention is better than waiting.
Yeah, and so I tell a lot of clients, like, you know, if you have a lot of oak trees on your property, just look up every once in a while. And a lot of people, you know, us tree people, we're always looking up. You get out of the vehicle, what do? You look at your trees. But people that aren't tree people often don't do that. So if you're on your property, you have oak trees, just once every couple weeks, just look up and just view the crowns of the trees and see if there's some weird decline. Or do you have random oak leaves all of a sudden on your lawn? And it's like, well, why do we have these oak leaves on the lawn? Well, it very well could be oak wilt disease, because oak wilt will start, the trees will just start shedding leaves in the middle of summer.
Huh.
So good thing to know there on oak. Emerald ash borer is here. It's killing ash trees as we speak. And so if you have ash trees on your property that are nice, there are very good treatments to keep them alive.
Okay.
If you say we're just going to replace, well, then look at removal and replace those trees with good trees.
But the emerald ash borer, that's not something like with the oak wilt where it's going to spread to a whole bunch of different trees. The emerald ash borer, that's an individual tree thing, and you might have one good ash tree, but chances are they're going to find the other one sooner or later.
They will.
Okay, they just plain will.
They just plain will.
Got it. So that is what it is. Some other critters out there, the spongy moth, we used to call them gypsy moths, but that's not politically correct anymore. So now they're called spongy moths. So when you hear the term spongy moth, it's that same old moth that causes problems all the time.
Yep.
It's just got a new name now. But spongy moth, we're done with those for the year.
We're done with those for the year, yeah. They've basically, they're out, they're mating and laying eggs for next year already.
Okay.
So, you know, if you have like those little...
those are the ones, the tents that we see in the trees, right?
That's the tent caterpillar.
Oh, okay.
So the gypsy moth is not the tent.
Okay.
So...
they're just the ones that are all over the place outside the tent.
They can be, okay. Yes. So there's the tent caterpillar, and then there's the gypsy moth.
Okay.
The spongy moth.
Right.
And so it's not as prevalent here. You know, okay. It's prevalent like east of us. It's prevalent like Bayfield County right now, real bad. Down south, it's not too bad here. We are seeing some feeding on oak trees especially, and you'll just see like holes in the leaves or distorted leaves because they've been chewing them so much. But they're done. They've already laid their eggs. You know, they're on small trees. You can find those little masses. They're like, it's like a little almost, what would you say? Looks almost like a piece of sand or something.
Okay. They'll glue to the bottom of the leaf.
The bottom of the leaf or right on the trunk or wherever. And, you know, you want to scrape that off and put it like in an oil, like a soybean oil or something like that, that you want to put them in to kill them. If you scrape them off on the ground, they'll just continue to live.
Or kill them with fire.
Or do that.
But be careful.
Yeah.
In other words, they're not, you got to take care of them and make sure they're really taken care of.
Yeah, and that's an extremely difficult thing to do, the scraping. You know, it's more like if you, you would need to basically do an insecticide, really, to properly treat your trees, which you would need to do early in the spring. And but right now, it's too late. You can't do anything this year because they're already done feeding.
So the spruce budworm, that's another one that we need to look out for. I don't know if we've ever talked about the spruce budworm before, Ted, but that's one that we need to look out for, but that one's also done for the year.
Correct.
Okay.
Spruce budworm really hit Saner, Boulder Junction area the last 3 to 4 years. Now, spruce, it's kind of one of those crazy things when you think about nature. So spruce budworm has a 50-year cycle. So last time it was around was back in the 70s.
Okay.
And then it just lays dormant or whatever it does for about 50 years. And
takes
then all
a little
of a sudden
nap.
Reappears, yeah.
Yeah.
So we found it in Marinette County. We were hoping that it was like, it would, kind of the way that we think that it's supposed to work is regionally it's going to last for 10 years once it's here. Well, we were hoping that Marinette County was kind of regionally with us.
Okay.
But it's not, because now we're on year 11. There's still really strong and they're spreading. So they went from like the saner area really heavy. If you go up in like the saner area, there's pockets of just dead. So what it does is it affects, it's a spruce budworm, but it affects like your short needled conifers.
Okay.
So balsam
not
fir.
Not just the spruces.
Correct.
Okay.
Balsam fir, especially balsam fir, spruce, tamarack. So they will feed. So what's going on is like it's spreading now. They've already pupated. They've already, the moths flew. They've made it. They've laid their eggs. They will actually, the little caterpillars, tiny little caterpillars that you'll see under like a magnifying glass, they'll emerge here in the fall, and then they'll just find a place on the tree somewhere to overwinter.
Okay.
And then they'll come out right away in the spring and start feeding. So for the people that have those balsam fir, spruce, tamarack that are important on their property, you need to do a treatment like right away in the spring, almost like the first couple weeks that you can treat the trees. You can do a spray. It's just you have to do it more often. It's not quite as effective. Ideally, you do a systemic where the tree absorbs it.
And oftentimes, spruce are very important ornamental trees in a lot of people's landscaping.
Yeah, spruce, balsam. I mean, there's some places that I've been on clients, and they literally have hundreds and hundreds of balsam trees, and they're all getting defoliated.
Oh,
so now it's kind of like, okay, you're not going to treat all these trees. So you pick which trees or which pockets of trees are most important to you, and then we'll come in and treat those.
We probably don't have enough time to discuss it in full, but do you see with some of these new things, a lot of these things, like you say, they're cyclical, they've been around before, they're coming back again. The way the climate is changing, Ted, do you see any of that aiding in some of these, especially these critters that are getting at our trees and killing them all? Do you see a changing climate as any reason for this to be increasing?
I mean, it will in certain things, yes.
Okay.
You know, there's certain, like, heat index days that you're going to have more, you're going to have them sooner, or whatever it may be. I don't have an exact example, but, I mean, it definitely will change. You know, if there are pests that are in certain areas that can't handle really cold temps, and if we continue to warm up, then those pests will move north, kind of like our trees. There's only certain trees. We used to be zone 3. Now we're considered almost zone 4.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like those things that are all of a sudden, yeah, pests will be able to move north if they can handle the winters more.
Got to stay in front of them. And some of the pests that they just arrived in our yard 2 days ago, the Japanese beetles are back, and they were bad last year. I'm hoping it's not quite as bad this year, but they are definitely back.
Yeah, they probably will be. And I just had a discussion on this, and it's like, what do we think the cycle is on Japanese beetle? And really, we don't know that there will be a cycle. They may be here, but what we're all hoping, and we kind of have an example, is that our natural predators will start knowing that it's a food source and a really abundant food source.
Chickens love them. Chickens just love them.
I had a client that they're in the southern part of the state, but they had tons of them, and they had a flock of starlings come through and wipe them out in no time, and there was like not a Japanese beetle around after that. So that's what we're all hoping, is that eventually we won't need to think about these other control methods. You know, you were saying that you have that.
A pheromone trap.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big, ugly-looking, sock-looking thing that's hanging in one of the trees, but whatever's in there, the Japanese beetles are in love with those things that are coming out of that pheromone trap.
And that's great. And you can do that on your own. You know, yesterday we treated 19 trees for the Japanese beetle because they were just defoliating so much.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have systemic treatment possible. You have the pheromone traps. You know, really whatever you can do to hopefully stop them. And then hopefully our natural predators in time will realize it's a great source, and they'll just kind of keep them at bay. You know, you'll never get rid of them completely, but if we can kind of knock them back a little bit, that's good.
Yeah, they're kind of shiny, almost metallic-looking greenish-blue beetles. That's what the Japanese beetles look like, and they're about, about half size of a dime.
Right, yep.
Yeah, but, so that's what we're talking about there. Ted Foley, Foley's Tree Service. Boy, we're running out of time here quickly, Ted. A couple more things. We're in a drought. That's obvious. Mm-hmm. My girdled ornamental willow tree has been replaced with a baby, and now I'm worried about that baby because it's been so dry. I've been literally dumping 5-gallon buckets of water on that thing because we're not getting any rain, and so I want to make sure, especially with the new trees, that it's getting plenty of water. Am I doing the right thing, or should I just let nature take its course?
No, they need water. Sometimes, you know, water directly on the root ball is not a great thing. We'd rather see like an overhead sprinkler somehow,
okay,
just to have a more even, and we're not concentrating that that moisture right at the base of the tree, which can promote root rot. So if you look at where your trees are and there is dry grass away from those trees, that means that those trees also need moisture.
Yeah.
Especially newly planted trees, you know, your birch, your oak, the trees that are also susceptible to what we call opportunistic infestation. Not every tree, but certain trees have different pests that basically attack them when they're stressed. Well, what creates stress? Construction, mm-hmm. drought,
yeah.
these different things.
Bugs,
so,
yeah.
Correct. So what we need to do is we need to look at that and say, all right, if we have important trees on our property, birch, oak especially, and newly planted trees, we do want to get water to those trees. Otherwise, they will become stressed and become more vulnerable to pests.
The other thing I'm learning is you don't want to plant any tree, especially too close to any pavement or any rocks, because one thing I'm learning, I have no grass left. I mean, it's beyond brown. It's down to dirt right next to my driveway on both sides. It's like the concrete's getting hotter nowadays, and that transfers into the dirt, and that affects everything growing in the dirt.
Yeah, like the folks that, you know, they want to have, like, rocks around their trees. Well, yeah, I mean, it's maybe less maintenance. The problem is, like you're saying,
yeah.
that hot sun hits them, it heats up those rocks. Well, what does that do? It evaporates any soil that's in or any moisture that's in the area. So it just dries out that root system even quicker.
Always something to worry about when it comes to our yards and our trees and our plants.
Yeah, and it's, you know, hopefully we get moisture here shortly. But yeah, if you have those certain trees that are really important to you, try to get water on them. I mean, at least a half hour a day on certain trees is really good.
And you should be mulching them. If they're not already mulched, that'll help too. Because chances are, Ted, this is probably the new normal, so we're just going to have to adapt to it.
Yeah, for a while. You know, it's you know, we had pretty wet moisture levels here the last few years, but now all of a sudden it's just really dry.
Yeah.
So, you know, fingers crossed, hopefully we get some moisture coming up here. We're gonna have a wet fall. I mean, ideally, we would need some moisture this fall to get these trees to be able to go into dormancy well. So let's hope that we get some moisture.
Good. And enough moisture to keep things green and growing. And then we want some good color time in the fall too. So we got to take care of these trees.
And we may see color earlier with our maple trees if they're stressed because of
yeah.
drought.
Yeah.
So it'll, you know, time will tell what's going to happen.
My little maple tree in the backyard, one branch is already turning colors.
It's early.
Yeah, it's already turning. So we're at that point already. Ted Foley, Foley's Tree Service, Foley's Forest Products. What's your website, Ted? People can start there and get to all kinds of education and knowledge.
Yeah, check us out, foleystreeservice.com or wisconsinfirewoodsales.com for the firewood side.
Good deal. Ted Foley, thanks for being here this morning, and we'll see you next month.
Thank you.